It's that time of year when you want to do some inspections around your home. And today we're going to take a look at your home's electrical on our Around the Home segment with the Builders and Remodelers Association of Greater Ann Arbor. I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and this is Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY. My special guest today is the owner of Vetter Electric, Matt Weibark. Matt, where do we start when it comes to our home's electrical system to do an inspection?
Well, when the weather's turning nice, the first thing to do is just start from the outside. You have a power line coming in from Detroit Edison, most likely, and it's either going to be underground, which there's nothing you need to do, or it's overhead. And if it's an overhead line, the best thing to do is just visually follow it back to the telephone pole or power pole. If you've got tree branches and anything weighing heavy on it, it's time to call DTE and say you need to have the branch removed, because what's going to happen is, over time, there's going to be a storm, and you're going to be without power in the middle of the storm when that branch falls or breaks through the line. So that's a good thing to look at first, and then just follow it right to your house, and it's going to attach to the house. Make sure it looks like a good solid attachment point. It's not pulling wood away or anything like that. And then it'll come down into the meter. It's either going to be in a pipe or a cable. And if it's a cable, just take a visual look at the insulation on it. If it looks checked and cracked and weatherproof, like it's been there 40 or 50 years, which most of them have, a lot of them in the older homes, it's time to possibly get that replaced, because that's letting water into the system, and water and electricity never mix. And then just follow that same cable into your house. And just make sure everything's caulked up there nice and tight to keep the water out.
Matt, are they putting more of those cables in the piping or no?
Yes and no. Most any new subdivision now, everything is underground. So it'll come underground to your house, so that overhead line won't be an issue. It's more of the older neighborhoods, but they stopped putting them in about 20 or so years ago just because of the maintenance on them. For tree maintenance and all that, it's easier to do underground. But in an old neighborhood, it's very cost prohibitive to dig up an entire neighborhood and put everything underground. But anything new, newer homes and stuff, they're all underground. But if you have an underground meter, here's the other thing. Since we're in Michigan, we get a lot of frost and freeze cycles. It pulls that wire tight underground. And you look at your meter and make sure it's not getting pulled away from the house. That wire underground will be pulled so tight, it starts pulling the screws out of the back of the meter, and your meter will be, like, peeled away from the house. We see that quite a bit. That's no
and
fun to fix.
Anything you notice on that, is it the responsibility of DTE at that point, or should we call a professional like Vetter Electric?
If it's an overhead line, DTE's got the magic point of where their overhead line stops where it attaches to your house. So if it's physically on your house, the homeowner is responsible. If it's the underground coming to the house and it's the meter's pulled off, DTE will be involved in that, but it's still the homeowner's responsibility to have it fixed. We have to have DTE shut the power down to the house for the underground for us to safely remount it. They will extend their wire so it will not pull off again, is the fun thing. And then you move to the inside of the house. Since everyone's home and has a little time to kill, you can take a look at the panel and make sure it's labeled properly. If you've got generic labels that just says lighting or receptacles on it, you can easily turn off one circuit and kind of see what goes off and be a little more exacting on your label for it. Or that's something we can do, but that a lot of homeowners will choose to do that themselves. And then just look for anything that looks in disrepair.
Before we get to disrepair, we're talking with Matt Weibark. He is with Vetter Electric. And, Matt, I would like to know, on that panel in the basement where the electrical all comes in and the fuses that are on there, the fuse box, and forgive me if I'm not using the right terminology.
Nope.
I have two boxes. So what determines if you have one box versus two?
How many circuits you have in your house? A newer home has a lot more circuits than an older home for the fact that the electrical code has changed, and it changes about every 2 years. So before, you used to have one circuit that ran your whole kitchen. Now you have one that does just the refrigerator, one that does the microwave, one that does the dishwasher, one that does the disposal, minimum of two on the counter. So they have to use a larger panel. And in bigger houses, they actually will mount two panels, one next to each other, just so they have enough spots to land all those new circuits. So that's a lot more to keep track
of. I was watching one of those HGTV home shows, and... they were talking about how there were too many things in the one fuse box that had been done incorrectly. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of times over the years when homeowners start working on things or not quite electricians are working in the panel, they'll add a new circuit and just put it under a same circuit breaker that already has a circuit on it. What it is until both those circuits add up to whatever the amperage is of the circuit breaker, it won't trip. But a lot of times you'll get frequent tripping, especially with kitchens and bathrooms. Mm. With you're using a hair dryer and you plug something else in, a different room, boom, it trips. It's because that room and the bathroom is on the same circuit, or someone has taken both circuits to one breaker, and that needs to be separated. And that just helps out with the nuisance tripping, too.
So what does it mean when lights flicker? Let's say that you're plugging something new in and you notice something else flickers when you do that. What's going on there?
Well, there's a couple things that can happen, but the most common thing is if a large appliance or you're plugging in something that draws a lot of power turns on and you get flickering in various parts of the house or the same circuit, there's a loose wire somewhere in that circuit. And when that large power draw comes in there, that's what causes the flickering until it either turns off or it kind of levels out. Like when a refrigerator turns on, it uses a lot of power to get the compressor going, and then it kind of smooths down to a lower level of power it's using to keep it running. And a lot of times a furnace or refrigerator will cause people's lights to flicker. That means something's loose in the panel. And if you haven't had an electrician in the panel in a while, it's time to call him over. He'll go through and tighten all the connections there, and then he can follow that circuit back and check the connections in each little junction box if needed. But a lot of times, every 5-10 years, it's good to have an electrician go in your panel, tighten up all the wires on the circuit breakers, and tighten up all the neutral and ground wires just to prevent that flickering. Another cause of flickering is, obviously, during a storm, the power to your house is flickering, and that you'll see that throughout the entire house or a good portion of it. That, there's not a whole lot you can do till the storm is over. But the new LED bulbs, too, they don't flicker out of their nature, but they flicker very easy when there's a power fluctuation. So during storms and stuff, don't worry too much. But once the storm has subsided and you still have flickering, that might be a time to call DTE. But like I said, if you haven't had anyone working in your panel in like 5-10 years, it's a good time to have an electrician out just to tighten everything up and prevent that and look for problems for that.
All right. How often would an electrical anomaly of some kind in your house cause a huge problem, whether it's, you know, a brownout and got devices that get burnt out, or a fire that could emerge from something like this?
Well, that's more on the utility side. So that's kind of nature working against the utility or the utility's equipment failing, like a transformer. That can cause a power surge. When you get a power surge, that can affect the whole house or parts of it, but that could cause, the worst case scenario would be a fire. But most of the time, it burns up your electronic devices, and that just becomes a true nuisance. You lose your furnaces now have an electronic board that controls them. Your oven, even your washing machine, which used to just be kind of a manual dial, now has the nice digital buttons and stuff. When you start losing those appliances, it becomes a headache. One thing you can do to help prevent that is get a whole house surge suppressor on the panel. And if the surge is coming from the outside, the surge suppressor will hopefully dampen it and stop it before it reaches any of your appliance and saves you a lot of repair time on them.
How hard is it to put that in? Do you need an electrician to do it? How does that work and how much does it cost?
It's an electrician would do the whole house one because that mounts into the panel, needs to mount onto a live circuit, and they average around $350. The other things you can do for your computers and or TVs and stuff, they have the power strips with the built-in surge. Always recommend those too. A lot of times people don't have the whole house surge suppressor, and they'll give us a call after they know there's been a big surge in their neighborhood, and those surge strips are fried. And people will realize they'll think their circuit's not working, but the strip itself went out. It did what it's supposed to, but it didn't turn back on. So after a big surge, if you lose a few things and they seem to all be plugged into plug strips, check the plug strip because those do go. And they do melt, so that is a safety issue to check them every so often.
Right. Okay. Matt Weiberg with us. He is with Vedder Electric. He's the owner there. What about smoke detectors?
Well, always a good idea if you don't have them in an older home, any home should have them. All the newer homes have them, and they're usually battery backup. people don't realize that. They think, oh, I've got the hardwired smoke detectors. There's a battery of some type in them, and that needs to be changed every so often. Usually every year we tell people to do that, and they pick something, either a birthday, New Year's Day, a holiday, whatever, and just change the batteries every year in them. Newer smoke detectors are coming out with a 10-year lithium battery, which is not changeable. And at 10 years, it'll start chirping. At that point, we need to go through and change all just the whole smoke detector unit. Most of the manufacturers say the detector should be changed after 10 years. And so that's always a good thing, especially if you're having any issues with them. But annually, you need to change the battery in them. And it's usually a 9-volt battery, and some of the newer ones are taking AA batteries. So you'll know once you open it up for that. But that's a good thing to change, and that needs to be done every year because fire safety is a major thing. Because it's not only electrical, it's anything in your house. A candle can cause it. You want to make sure your smoke detectors are running and working perfect.
Absolutely. So I found it with my smoke detectors, sometimes it's dust that causes that chirping to go out. The battery's fine, but because it's dusty up there, once I get that dust out of there, it stops. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, on them. Just depends the room it's in. We've got a workshop in our basement that has a smoke detector, and that one needs to be cleaned like every 6 months because it just... The way the air moves in there, it pulls that dust right up into it. And you just, the placement of the smoke detector.
And then speaking of dust.
Yeah.
What about the vents and coils on your refrigerator? You say you actually have to vacuum those?
Oh, yeah. That's I've got pets. And my pet bowls are in the kitchen near the refrigerator. The little fan on the refrigerator that does the cooling of the coils pulls the dog hair right into them. Every... probably 3 months, I've got a special little refrigerator brush I got at Ace Hardware there. I have to go through and clean out the coils, and they are bad. Because it just, naturally that fan just pulls whatever pet hair right into them. And if the longer you wait to do that, the hotter the coils run, you're using more electricity to keep your refrigerator going at the same temp. And then over time, it can overheat because it'll pack the condenser in there and stuff, and you've got the hair and the coils just jam-packed with no ventilation around them, and it can overheat and cause your refrigerator to go bad, too. Shortens its life. So that's just one of the little maintenance things that people always ask us, what can we do to help our house? And the other thing is your bathroom vent fans. No one ever vacuums them out, and when we have to go in to replace the motors on them, they're usually just jam-packed with dust. And that's the main thing that caused the motor to fail was it was never cleaned. You don't need to oil them, although they are self-oiled, but they're jam-packed with dust, and that burns them right up. And a lot of times they will start smoking over time because people will turn them on. It's not running, but it's still sending power to that motor, and that will eventually overheat if you leave it on for a week or two straight. And it can ignite that dust, and it makes a lot of smoke.
Some great advice today from Matt Weibark with Vedder Electric. You can visit VedderElectric.com for more information. What do you think about those motion sensor lights or the lights that, you know, are hands-free?
Yeah, everyone's trying to automate their house, and it's a very simple automation where you don't need programming and a computer to do. We use them here in our shop, in the bathrooms and stuff. If you're... Walk into our bathroom with dirty hands. You don't have to touch a switch, look for a switch or anything like that. The lights just come on automatically. And when you leave, it shuts off after a few minutes. So they're great to have, especially near back doors and mud rooms when you're walking in the house with your hands full. You don't have to be looking for a switch in the dark. It comes on. They have a little built-in photo cell. So if it's daylight, they're not coming on, turning on lights when you don't need them. But they're great for hallways, basements, bathrooms. You have to be a little careful because if you're in taking a shower, the motion sensor can't necessarily see you in there. It might turn off. So there we have to kind of plan if we're going to use one or not. But they're great for especially in the garage, coming in a back door. It just makes life a lot safer. You're not scrambling around looking for that. Or if it's the middle of the night and you're just walking through the house, and I hate to say if you're an older person, you've got the light without looking for it. Because my mom, she keeps going out to the kitchen in the middle of the night, and she's always stumbling into something or other because she won't turn on the hall light. This will automatically turn on. And then she can go to bed.
Wonderful.
And it turns itself off. So that's the nice thing
about it. One other little convenience that a lot of people are starting to get is a bidet. The first time I saw them was many decades ago in Europe, and they usually were sitting next to the actual toilet. And the idea is that it can clean you off afterwards. Now they actually have them built into toilets that you can add to your toilet seat. But do you need something special electrically to make that happen?
They usually come, the ones that fit on the toilet itself, normally comes with a very short cord that's made to plug in behind or right next to the toilet. So we've been adding a lot of receptacles down low. It'll be a GFI receptacle that plugs in so you don't have to see the cord, and it keeps it hidden. If you're doing a whole remodel of the bathroom, they do make the toilet with it built in, and then the wiring is kind of hidden in the floor and wall behind the toilet. So we're doing that for remodelers who are putting in the whole toilet unit. Or you can buy just the new seat with the bidet attachment, but that needs to plug in. You have to be a little bit careful, because a lot of them have little heaters in them, is to see what size heater. If it's a large heater, we need to run an entire new circuit to that outlet so it's not tripping your breaker. If it's a normal one, like some of the big box stores have been selling, and they've been selling them like crazy with our toilet paper shortage here, they can just plug into a normal outlet added to the existing circuit. But, yeah, that was the big thing.
I just
thing.
Find it hard to believe that a bidet can that you don't need toilet paper just because you use a bidet. I just find that hard to believe.
Well, hopefully it reduces the amount. But it's a good backup, yeah. Yeah, one of our
I don't know if I want to sit on an electrified toilet, though, Matt.
Well, it's a heated seat, though. That's the other thing. Come
a lot
a
to
Michigan
be said
winter,
for that.
You might like that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, always fun talking with Matt Weibark with Vedder Electric. That's V-E-D-D-E-R, VedderElectric.com.
Yeah.
Go online, and they are our electricians in our house. We've used them for many years and love them. Matt, thanks so much. You take care.
Thank you.
And they are great members of the Builders and Remodelers Association of Greater Ann Arbor as well. Visit BraggAnnArbor.com. Our Around the Home segment each week here on the Lucy Ann Lance Show, Ann Arbor's Talk Station 1290 WLBY.